And we are back. Welcome to No Direction Beyond, the Starfinder News, Reviews, and Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Param, and I'm joined by
Alexander Agunis, the Everyman Gamer.
And
I'm James. I write Code Switch. Oh boy, I don't watch it.
Oh no.
Not that medium.
But you should all check it out. Code Switch is a fantastic blog, just like all the other blogs on the No Direction Network, which is, if you're just watching these podcasts, you're only getting half our awesome content. So go over to NoDirection.com.
Half? More like a quarter.
You're just saying that because you won't quit writing blogs.
I mean, that's true. I won't.
It's like a three quarters of the content, but like less work. I don't know. Param, you do a lot of work here.
No, it's three quarters of the content, but one tenth of the work.
There we go.
Well, speaking of doing one tenth of the work, we're here to review The Mechanic.
Oh man, that was a great. I thought we agreed that we were going to try to be positive for this, Param.
We are going to be something. All right.
I thought that was positive. Your mechanic does work for you, so you don't change your own oil. It's helpful.
What if you have an exocortex, though? Your brain can't change your oil for you.
You just go unconscious, and then the exocortex does it with your body.
I don't think that's how that works, James. You need to reread that class feature.
Uh-oh.
All right, everyone. Please remember that we are filming this live in front of a Twitch audience. So if you are in the Twitch audience, ask your question throughout the show. We'll be collecting them as we go and answering them when we can. If you wish to join us during our live hostings, we're every other Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Just go to twitch.tv/nodirection or any of our social media or nodirection.com. Or nodirectionpodcast.com, where all the links are, and you can get here and join us live for a show.
Do it. We're really entertaining in person.
Now, The Mechanic is one of the required classes for any sci-fi game. Sometimes they're called the engineer, sometimes they're called the mad scientist. But you need the I make tech do cool things, I build cool things class for any sci-fi game. The Mechanic is Paizo's offering in Starfinder for that role. James, take point. Tell us about the Mechanic's basic features.
So the Mechanic's basic features, it's a 6-6 hit point stamina. So you're relatively beefy. You can take it when one of your things explodes or you go in and it crashes to the ground. Your key skills are int and dex. You got to be fast, and you need to be fast on your feet and mind. 4 skill ranks a level plus your int mod, so you have a bunch of good class skills, mostly sciences, computers, and engineering. Don't know why you need anything else. And then there's a bunch of other class features around doing things with inbuilt mechanics in your own head and robots that you control. What are those called? Drones. That's the word.
The Mechanic has an option for an AI, the exocortex or the drones. And the drones come in three different forms. Either the hover drone, which seems to be the favorite at my SFS games. The stealth drone, which I have yet to see in play, but I assume can do cool things.
Chipflips with a Z.
With a Z.
And then, of course, you have the beatstick drone. I mean, the combat drone, which is, you know, it goes and punches things with weapons.
It sounds lame until you imagine it like those Troika droids from the new trilogy of Star Wars. Sorry, the middle one. There's too many Star Wars, but the ones that are balls and then roll up and then they have all these guns. Yeah,
it's like Bjorn. God, I'm going to mess his name up. James, fix it. It's Bjorgen's turret in Overwatch.
Trollbjorn.
There we go.
I was confused because you're missing half of it.
I mean, I don't play Overwatch. I'm sorry.
Oh,
but no, it's his turret. You got the little boop, 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 except it can move. That's it. It's like if Trollbjorn learned how to put wheels on his turret.
The one thing that Swedish engineer can't do is put wheels on things.
No!
You've been to IKEA. All those tables are stationary.
$5 worth of casters and that thing would be unbalanced as heck.
Yes. It'd be fun.
All right.
Yeah, So the mechanic gets a lot of class features that are based around messing around with computers and technology. It's got the ability to overload things when they get higher level. You can be near somebody and be like, hey, that's a really nice jetpack you have there. It would be a shame if it malfunctioned right now. Reflex save. It's got weapon specialization with a pretty standard list of weapons. I'd say it's pretty similar to the Envoys. Basic melee, small arms. That's what you get. If you go Exocortex, you get proficiency with long arms as part of that, and weapon specialization applies to that since it's granted by your class. So you get more options if you go Exocortex for shooting stuff. You get the ability to hack things that are far away, like computers and other wireless networks. You can jury-rig things. You can take items and just make them better than what even the best crafters in the world can manage, but those bonuses only last for a short amount of time. And they also get, I guess you could call them option class features. Theirs is the mechanic trick, where they have a list of just weird tech benefits or penalties they can put on things that range pretty heavily from things like, hey, I've augmented my eyes, now I can see in the dark, to, hey, I'm going to take over that robot by changing its hardwire and wiping its hard drive. Enjoy. It's now my robot.
You missed the coolest one, the Steven bubble.
The Steven bubble?
You can get a force shield.
Oh, the force shield. Yeah, the force shield. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
And it seems like the mechanic really has two different modes of play supported by the class, depending on which of its class features you're picking. You can be the skill monkey, sneaky, stealthy hacker dude, or you can be the I am enhanced by all the technology combat monster. And
I mean, like,
varying success in both roles.
The key word there is varying, but yes. I don't know. I feel like that's a decent summary of the class features that you get without getting too in-depth. Do you guys want to dive a little more, or do you want to talk about how the class plays? What do you guys want to do?
Let's talk about the drones, because that's the most important part about the half the mechanics.
I mean, that's the most important part for half of the mechanics.
That's
what
I said. It's the most important part for half the mechanic.
So, out of the mechanics you've seen, Param, how many went drones and how many went Exocortex?
They're all going drones because the robot is cool. I would be hard pressed to go drone myself because I'm seeing how that works out.
Yeah, well, all I've ever seen is people use Exocortex because they just don't want to worry about the action economy shifts there, because unlike with like Animal Companions or Eidolons and Pathfinder, you actually have to donate your actions to make the drone work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool that they're using the drone. Drone's dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like we said earlier, the drone has, it's basically built like, if you're familiar with the Summoner's Eidolons, it's kind of like the Unchained Summoner's Eidolon or the Druid's Animal Companion, where you've got this basic form and you're bolting on modifiers as it levels up. You get the combat drone, which is pretty tanky, supposed to be pretty tanky, and you can get, it's got good, it's supposed to have good armor, and it does have a decent amount of hit points compared to yourself, and it's mostly meant for melee work, but I think you could give it ranged weapons. But if you're going to go ranged, the hover drone seems to be the favorite choice, where, because throwing something up in the air is always helpful, and as easy as it is to fly and hit flying objects in Starfinder, getting that right off the bat and just being able to fly is always better than not being able to fly.
Yeah, 3D motion inside of this war game we call Starfinder really changes how you're able to interact with stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it is the only way to get flying at first level, like real flying. Mm-hmm. Even if you go like Dragonkin as your race, your flying is still basically like double jump in Super Smash Bros. Until level 5.
And the final form is the stealth droid, which is a small little thing that can sneak around and do lots of hacking tricks, not very combat effective.
I mean, it's the mechanic, and I enjoy the mechanic. I played some in playtest. It suffers from the, I think, a star power problem, where you're, unless you are A, piloting the ship, or rolling a 40 on your computer's check because that's the skill that you're good with, you're really a support player. And a lot of your abilities really highlight that. Mm-hmm. But you don't feel as cool as you do when you're just like, I'm a soldier and I have 8 attacks and yeah, you're mine now. You know, it doesn't have that star power to it.
Well, I mean, are we moving on to this part of the show then? Like, am I unchained?
Let's go for it. Okay. Let's just go in. It seems like this is the only way forward from here.
The one thing that I will say is that if you're using operative weapons or weapons in general that aren't like super heavy duty, the stealth drone is not as any worse than the combat drone because it's got a 14 dex to the 14 strength of the combat drone. In fact, if you want to give your combat drone a gun, it's only got a 12 dex, which means you're only getting a plus one to hit. The flying drone has the best base ability score modifier out of all of them. So you have this like battle war drone and it has a lower attack bonus than the flying drone. Like the only thing that makes the combat drone a combat drone is the fact that it has weapon mounts and for free, which anybody can buy and put on their weapon. And having two weapon mounts is cool, but it's not, like, necessary, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to generally want to have one weapon anyway. Maybe, like, two maybe, but, like, having the bonus one isn't a huge, like, lean in either direction.
Go ahead. I find the combat drone, yeah, you're right about the fact that it's got a lower base attack, or not base attack, but a lower score for its attack rolls. But it has the advantage that it can, like, I always say it leads melee because it is the strength heavy. It's got the strength first and not dex. And so if you were going to go with a shooty drone, it's better to go with one of the other options. But because of that, it can wield two-handed melee weapons. It can, and it can get strength to damage, which you usually can't get strength to damage on ranged attacks. And because of that, its damage, its potential damage output is higher, even though it's not got as good accuracy.
Yeah, there are some other things. Like the reductive plating helps with its survivability. And with the range weapons for the mounts, it's like two mounts to mount a heavy weapon. So if you give it the proficiency to just give it a big, heavy, dumb shotgun that doesn't need to aim too much, it can work out pretty well.
Right, but you know, let's face it, if you can't hit, then you're not good at combat.
Yeah.
I would argue that it probably either, and also it's not good at doing both. It, like, it doesn't have the bonuses for shooting. Like, making Trollbjorn's turret as a combat would be tough because you're not going to have a very good two hit unless it's somehow, like, chucking javelins at people instead of actually using bullets. It's just like, it's one of those weird little things about this class that really make me not care for the mechanic too much. This was a lot of our fans in the Discord know that we have internal lists of how we rank the classes, and this was my bottom one. I'm not a curtain. Fan. Oh, that's fine. I'm fine. There is no curtain. Curtain's gone. I've torn it down in my rampage on this class.
But the shotgun idea was that you get a blast weapon that just hits.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It bothers me that this class has a melee fighty option, but the only melee fighty option ability that your exocortex gives you is the first level ability that gives you a small bonus to hit. Like, after that, everything is all, let me have my brain hack things with me. And that kind of builds into another thing I really don't like about this class. When I think of a mechanic, I think of somebody who, like, works on actual machinery, you know? Somebody who is, like, a grease monkey out in the pits, you know, fixing my Gundam or whatever. I think of Old Man from Iron-Blooded Orphans. He should be what a mechanic is, but this class is 90% computer hacking. Like, yeah, you get your class bonus on engineering checks, but almost all of the mechanic special tricks are all about hacking computers. And if you have an exocortex, it's all about hacking computers. And all of the class features are all about hacking computers. You have, like, a couple things here and there, like Miracle Worker, that are like, hey, yeah, you're a crafter too, but you're not actually any better at crafting than anybody else. You just get small temporary bonuses.
And still 20th level. 20th. At 20th level, you are a god among crafters.
Yeah, okay.
You're a god amongst everything at 20th level. You're 20th level.
Yeah, I think that Starfinder has a better chance of getting a 20th level, if only because high-level play is better balanced. I still don't expect to see many people get to the point where you become the crafting god that you signed up for at level 1. I also kind of feel like the custom rig doesn't do anything. Like, especially not at low levels.
So it does not at low levels, but giving a reread through the through the book after the playtest, they added a lot of computer features to it, which means that that dumb faint trick, you could theoretically apply that onto your own custom rig because it counts as a computer after 6th level.
Yeah.
So you get some use out of it.
Yeah, I just like... your class feature is that you get basically a free item that everybody else can buy. I don't know.
That's such a minor part of the class. I mean, the Technomancer gets the same thing, except for it doesn't upgrade to godhood.
Yeah, but the Technomancer can put free spells into their rig that they get constantly. Like, they get something cool out of it.
Well, the mechanic gets to hack across a planet.
Yeah, and move his own ship. And
I'm sorry, I'm not impressed by that because the internet is a thing normal people have. If we could potentially be hacked by Russia now, then you shouldn't need a class feature to hack across the planet.
I mean, I can't hack across a planet. I need a class feature for it.
No, the mechanic hacks across an air gap. I mean, it already defies the laws of basic networking.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a lot of the stuff is like cool and very like powerful for what it is. It just in an adventure setting doesn't feel very powerful because it's not heroic. You're not going out and changing things in especially a combat situation. You're doing things either before or after to make sure you don't have to have that fight.
Do you know what my thing was though? I think I mentioned it to you when we were in the playtest because there was that one game where you played the greatest mechanic I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and so James's mechanic was super useful in that game, but he was super useful because we were trying to infiltrate a base that had like a strong computer system and stuff. So like, I feel like the mechanic could be potentially useful, but there's not much in the toolkit for when you are not in a place that has lots of like computers and stuff for you to work with. Like, I think this is a class that's way more environmentally dependent than even, like, the ranger in Pathfinder. Like, if you are not in a place where there's technology all around you all the time, like, what are half of these things supposed to be doing? And I feel like going out and exploring alien worlds should be half the focus of Starfinder, because that's where things like Star Trek get their inspirations from, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let's talk
I say this as a non-Trekkie, but whatever.
Now, let's get into some of the positive thoughts on the mechanic, because I think that trying to build a melee mechanic is a bad idea, even though it does kind of support it. I mean, if you're picking the combat bot, it should be melee, because it's going to be very inaccurate if you go with the heavy weapon options.
The blast
is the way to go if you're going to do that. There's some okay options there, but it does good at the melee option, but it suffers the same thing that all melee suffers in Starfinder of you suddenly become the biggest priority target, and so you're going to die very, very quickly. The hover drone I've seen have a lot of success because cover is such an integral part of Starfinder combat. And what the hover drone I've seen again and again and again is they're able to just chuck that sucker all the way to the other side of the field and get in, not flanking, but tactical flanking on their targets and deny them their cover bonuses because you've got the party on one side and the hover drone on the other, especially if you spec out that hover drone to be pretty decent in his ranged combat abilities. Again, I don't have much to say about the stealth drone. It's a non-combat thing. It can do some combat, but you don't want to. And it's really for the mechanic that wants to focus on his out of combat skill monkey type thing. It is a good hacker class. It suffers from the problem that the Technomancer suffers from, in that it's not as good as its skills as an operative is at its skills, because nothing is, because operative's broken that way. It's my one complaint about the operative is that it just does skills better than anybody else, even when they're supposed to specialize in those skills. I would be happy if it was equal, but it's not.
Right. And it's not like the operative sacrifices any melee or like combat power to be a skill powerhouse, because I feel like the unspoken secret is that people playing Pathfinder, Starfinder, they value combat more than they value skills. So being better at skills than combat isn't usually seen as a benefit if you sacrifice your combat potency for it. So you have a class. I'm not talking about the Technomancer right now because it fills a very different role. But the mechanic and the operative directly compete with one another for what they do in the party. And the operative can just cover everything the mechanic has, and the mechanic's not any better at fighting than the operative is for that increased coverage of skills. And the fact that Starfinder has what is essentially a good skill and a average skill kind of progression, where if you put your ranks into a skill that your class benefits, you're going to have like the highest bonus, but that highest bonus has a ceiling that everybody hits, right? Like, even the Envoy, with its random rolling is only ever going to get so high. And, on an average D6 roll for that low level, Envoy, like on average, they're going to hit about that same +3 bonus that the operative already has at level one. And the operative is eventually going to climb up and catch that maximum too. And then when the operative hits their maximum of +6, the Envoy only has a chance. I don't think they go up to D8s, do they, James? I don't remember.
If they don't, there's an ability to.
Yeah. Then if they go up to D8s and the Envoy can actually beat that cap and they're the only ones who can, I feel like the mechanic needed something like the Envoy where they can surpass that operative level of skill with the two skills that this class is designed to be good at, which is computers and engineering.
But the one advantage they usually have in my experience in play against both the Envoy and the Operative is that because their focus skills are int-based and they're int-primary, they usually have a couple of ranks advantage just because their int is going to be higher than the Operative's, though the Operative and Envoy have ways to beat that.
So the problem is that the operative is designed so that an intelligence-based class really cannot beat an operative who puts even a couple points into intelligence. Like, you start off with 8, you get 2 bonus from your specialization for a total of 10. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go, if you're a mechanic, you start with what? I think it's 4?
4 plus, yeah.
Yeah. So you start with 4. That means you would need a intelligence of at least 22 in order to match an operative who put nothing in intelligence, which is its own opportunity cost, you know?
That's not the angle I was arguing, Alex. Not that he has a number of skills. It's that the skills he focuses on are int-based, and he's an int-primary, which means he can make up a little bit of his skill roll deficiency simply because it's unlikely that most operatives are going to make int their second stat.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that, we're saying the same thing, but what I'm saying is that they can make up the difference, sure, but they're never going to be able to catch the operative, unless the operative literally dumps intelligence and goes for an 8, which Starfinder doesn't really promote the way Pathfinder does. So there's really going to be no operative who has an 8. I don't think that I ever really expected this class to be as good at skills as the operative, because the operative should have its niche. Mm-hmm. But if the mechanic's job is to exist between the soldier and the operative, I don't think it's soldiery enough to justify not being at a similar level to the operative, if that makes sense.
Well, let's talk about the combat mechanics of the mechanic, which is... The fact that it's called the mechanic has already caused enough tongue twisters, but I think most people can understand what we're talking about. But basically, how does the mechanic handle in combat? By default, it only has small weapon proficiency and light armor. It does get grenades, which is not something all the classes get, so that's a nice little perk. And it has a drone that increases its action economy and provides an additional attack and, you know, is an additional player on the field. It's a pet class, so it does have the pet option to increase its potential offensive capability. And if you go with the Exocortex option, you get long arm proficiency, also known as the one you want. And you also get the specialization at third level, so that it's got, that's going to kick up. And you're also going to get a skill focus, which has nothing to do with combat, so I'm not going to go into it. And you also get to treat one target and increasing amount of target as if you had a BAB, a full BAB. So, yep. At least it's not going to have the soldiery's combat abilities that the soldier gets to make itself more gruntier, but compared to any of the other squishy classes, it can combat closest to the soldier to anybody but operative.
Mm-hmm.
So are we really so is the mechanics problem the mechanics problems, or is the mechanics problem just that operative's broken?
I don't think the operative is broken. I think I'm in the smaller number of people who believe that, but that's only because, like I mentioned before, the operative has its skill niche, and, you know, basically when you get right down to it, trick attack is a skill check to do extra damage, and it's really not an easy check. Really, what comes down to is the ghost specialization is broken, in my opinion, anyway. But in terms of the mechanic, it's just, like... So you're talking about a class that, you know, if you're going to go Exocortex and you're supposed to be like good in combat, mm-hmm. you aren't getting any of the small, like the best thing you're getting in terms of your damage is the fact that you can use the long rifles, the higher damage guns, but the soldier is going to beat you out on having more feat options. The gear boosts are generally better for combat. And I think that's a big problem that this particular, actually, you know what, that does lead me into where this class falls a little behind in combat. If you look at the list of mechanic tricks, they're filled with special things that droids can do and how the mechanic augments their droid, and if you have a droid, this is what the trick does instead. There's almost nothing themed around the Exocortex or that requires the Exocortex. And really, I think that the mechanic needs something like that that says, hey, you know, I understand you don't have this cool drone. Here are a couple mechanic tricks that help you level the playing field if you have an Exocortex. Like, a great example is that it's a full BAB class that doesn't have access to an onslaught ability like the Soldier or the Solarian, meaning they're not going to get to make those extra attacks the way that every other full BAB character can. You are talking about a character who can only have a good attack bonus against one target at a time. So maybe if there was a trick that was like, hey, when you full attack, you can make one extra attack, but it has to target the target of your, the Exocortex, targeting focus. I can't remember what the precise name of the ability is called.
Well, the targeting is, it starts as one, but it is a pretty regular clip. You're adding extra targets to your choice options there. So, I mean, you get a second one at, is it 5 or 6?
10. You can track to it 10. Twin tracking.
Well, never mind my argument there.
Yep, you have to wait half your game. You get 4 at level 20. You just skip 3. Yep.
Well, never mind my argument there. Okay, so yeah. Totally you are doing it against one. And it's a move action to swap your targets, too.
Yeah. I mean, like, a good way to think about it is, like, twin tracking is a 10th level ability. In Dead Suns, that means you're not going to be able to target two at a time until you're in almost eight, you're in AP5.
One of the advantages it does get in combat is it can overcharge its weapons. It can boost his armor. He can have a shield. Those aren't specific to Exocortex, because the other mechanic can totally do all that stuff too. But at least it is a direct combat buff. But it also comes with the stipulation that the Technomancer has with its combat buffs is, sure, you could buff yourself and kind of catch up with the soldier. Or you could buff the soldier and get
and he'd be better.
And get better mileage out of the ability. So if you're playing full support role is really the more effective option for those abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the shield is just yourself. It's
I And, you know, it's just like you look at it, and at least to me, I see the exocortex, and I see things that could have been cool. Like, you have to wait till level 7 till you get exocortex mods, and you can build mods into your body. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, you kind of see, oh, this is supposed to be the mechanic that uses, like, cybernetics and machinery to augment themselves. But you don't get that ability till level 7, you know, whereas... like that is a huge list of utilities that the standard drone mechanic has over the exocortex mechanic. Mm-hmm. So like it might not be always the most powerful option all the time, but the fact that you have this drone that has like climbing claws when it needs it, it's got jump jets, it's got special resistances, it's got the little compartment in its body, it can move faster. These are all like little tiny things that, and the fact that you're already can split your action economy and therefore your positioning between two characters, it is inherently an advantage. And the exocortex instead has a harder action economy to do things that other characters don't have that action economy penalty to do. Like the move action to target somebody never reduces. Or if you want to be able to, you know, you can't do the flanking thing, like you said, which is a benefit for yourself. I don't know. It's generally for me, it's frustrating because I think that the mechanic is fine enough at the skills it's supposed to be good at. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's not great at fighting if you're an exocortex mechanic. I don't have much of an opinion on the drone in combat, but you're not putting all your eggs in one basket with the drone, you know?
Yeah,
well, no, I can fix it.
I never expected the mechanic to really be a combat god. Usually they, in all of sci-fi, they're the ones fixing things and supporting in the background while the hero protagonist with the twin six-shooters is out doing all the saving and shooting in combat.
Yeah, fair, but it's a base class.
Fair question. Do you expect Deathlok to be a good combatant?
Hmm?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel, Cyborg?
Well, he's a cyborg, and that's mostly
that, but that's basically what you are when you're shoving an AI into your brain with the exocortex.
Well, the exocortex version is better at combat.
Yeah, I can't see this going toe-to-toe with, like, a soldier.
No.
Like, and I mean, arguably, you shouldn't be able to go toe-to-toe with a soldier in every way, but... There should be some kind of circumstances where this class could be like, yeah, in this situation, I am either the soldier's equal or maybe I have an edge on them. And I guess that is in skills. As someone who plays a soldier, the mechanic definitely has more skills than I do. But we also have three other people in the party who's good at skills. Like, I don't know. I don't think that being good at skills is a good, impressive reason to not be good at combat, especially when you have the operative.
I think that is incredibly wrong. Half the game is not combat, though that isn't the opinion of a lot of organized play or some of the, and definitely some of the community does value combat more, but that's not how it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be options, and there's whole chapters and a humongous chunk of this game devoted for the stuff that happens between initiative roles. And having a class that is good at those things is important for the characters that want to focus on those things. Every party can support and usually benefits from having a support character that is good at handling the situations when we're not drawing guns.
I think you're right. But the fact is that this is a character who specializes in two skills that a lot of people are going to have. Because definitely computers fits the theme and like the, I would say almost the player expectation of what an adventurer in a future setting should be able to do, which is hack computers. And, you know, they're not better at it than anybody else, which, you know, that's a design choice. It is what it is. It's not right or wrong, but they don't have anything really to make up with it. And, you know, when you talk about skills not being half the game, I get it. I'm the guy who wrote Skill Challenge Handbook for Pathfinder. But the fact remains is that this book does not have many rules for how to use skills. It talks about things that you can do, but then it expects the GM to come up with situations where those skills are useful and viable. And if you're in a situation where there's not a lot of tech around or hacking the tech has no options for you to, you know, actually do anything helpful for your party, or the GM doesn't want to be able to make up those rules on the fly, or they can't make up those rules on the fly because it's an organized play scenario, then – the mechanics advantages of having all of these cool hacking stuffs isn't a power ability that doesn't matter.
Well, first, you're wrong about the skill section for hacking specifically. It's the only skill use in the game that has its own section devoted to it and how computers work and how hacking applies to computers. And it's this whole developed, complicated thing with countermeasures and hacking and assistance.
There are rules, but there's nothing in the game that tells you how to do it. There's nothing in the game that tells you where to put it. There's not like with combat, it's like I put a monster, I know how the PCs are going to do and how it's going to work. For the computer, it's like I put a computer in here and then I spend 20 minutes trying to design the computer and then I give up and just wing it anyway.
I mean,
that's not a mechanics problem.
That's fair, James. I agree with that.
I trust GMs to be able to be good GMs. If you can't use non-combat, if you are only good at running monsters, you are not a good GM. Get better. I mean, it doesn't need to support everything. I mean, if freaking skill checks are at least detailed, if you can't come up with inventive reasons to use the DC examples they give you to provide challenge for your players, you're doing a severe disservice for your players, especially if you happen to have a player at your table who's interested in non-combat parts, and you're not servicing them by providing them with the opportunity to show off at least a good fair share of the game, just like you give everybody else. Then you're doing the job wrong.
So then freeze. What happens if Thirsty makes a scenario where the players have to go to an uncivilized moon in the middle of nowhere? What are the mechanics going to do? Is he doing his job wrong because the mechanic doesn't have half of his class features just because of the setting?
Well, first,
if there is a scenario like that. Yeah, and your computer still does find use. Usually what they do is they either jam it. And this is looking through like the first couple volumes of Dead Sons and everything. They jam it as a tack on your computer skills on your ship. If you're going to someplace, use your ship to find out about the area. Mm-hmm. The documented material tries to give you something to do, which once again, this is documented, you know, can's a bad word, but professionally made content. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Home GMs might not be as good at this.
Mm-hmm. And that argument applies to almost every single character. Yes. You can screw any given character by putting them into an environment where their whole stick doesn't work. The casters can be put in an anti-magic area or denied access to the basics they need to get the job done. The soldiers, you just take their gear away with the scenario that's been done to death of you all starting a prison. I mean, there's so many ways to screw any given character that it's unfair to compare a character's effectiveness by the exact one situation designed to make them useless.
I do see it from both sides, because a lot of characters or a lot of classes, their factor is combat. Mm-hmm. They're good at doing combat. It's very easy to find a knife in that prison, a shank. It is very hard to get all your equipment back to start being this character. And the fact that you're going all doing else to be a support character can really be a buzzkill. In the mm-hmm. Dead Sun games I'm running, we do have a person who's an exocortex mechanic, and I had to make Alex swear not to crap all over this guy.
I did really good. I didn't say anything.
I was very proud of you, Alex. And he did very great on computer skills, on stuff that was put in there, and some of the stuff I had to make up for them because, well, they went off track. Your players will do that in Dead Suns. That is real. But he did pretty good in those parts. But it came to the point where in combat he just kept rolling twos, and that's going to make you feel bad regardless of if you're better or worse, because especially at those low levels, the exocortex bonus puts you at par with most things. Mm-hmm. So your worth will change throughout a gameplay as well if you're a mechanic. You're going to be a lot better at the combat at the beginning. Towards the end, you're going to be a lot more, hey guys, you do the good fight. I'm going to overcharge your weapon with a move action. I'm going to give my bot actions with my move, with mm-hmm. another action. You're going to be giving your actions to other people.
Well, to be fair, Vic is exocortex. He's not going to overcharge his bot.
He can overcharge you. Well, yeah, overcharge. Or the hot load.
Overcharge my chainsword, Vic.
Yeah, it's a powered weapon, so it just uses three times the charge, but it's a move action, so you can just... No limit.
Stand by me. Nobody's going to want to stand by me. I'm in melee all the time.
Yeah, no, you're the psychopath. It's just like, I'm going to run this nightclub with the sword.
Hey, to be fair, I was doing really good until Robin opened fired.
Yeah, everything goes good until a gunfight erupts. That's, what is that, like the slogan of the world? But yeah, so you know, there are good and bad to take. It does take the luster off this class a little bit, and this is something that we had an issue with the Technomancer, the branding of it as the tech wizard, and it's not a wizard. No. This isn't a mechanic. This is a techie. This is a Silicon Valley.
That's the one criticism I totally agree with, is there is not enough ranch monkey in this mechanic.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And it's hard to put that in there. They do have things in there like creating scrap bots, you know, things with opening doors, getting stuff out of nothing, but it's just there's a finite amount of things that you can do realistically in a short enough period of time to make it matter as a skill that's not a downtime.
Here is an easy free one for any Paizo people who are listening. Make the mechanic good at sundering. There has never been a class at Pathfinder that has been good at sundering. You could even make it temporary so that when it runs out, it's easy for the mechanic to fix. Maybe they can put anything they break back together really quick. And not only that, but having a mechanic who runs around and breaking everybody's crap is super thematic. Like, that's the kind of thing that, like, you could be great at combat and your debuffs are literally taking away other people's equipment. Like, if you inflict the broken condition on something, it gets -4 to attack rolls and, what, -4 to your AC? That'd be amazing. Now, all of a sudden, you have a support mechanic. There are ways that this character could be really cool, but I think for all of the shade I've thrown at the mechanic for the past 30 minutes or however long it's been since the barrier has been opened, I don't think it's an unsalvageable class. I think it's the barbarian in the core rulebook. I don't know if anybody remembers from way back when in 2009, the core Pathfinder barbarian was not a great class. It had a lot of rage powers that people didn't care about or didn't want. There was an entire book to fix the core parts of the barbarian. But when the Advanced Player's Guide came out, options were made that made the barbarian shine. And I think that if we take the time to acknowledge the places where the mechanic doesn't work as it says on the tin and build using the existing framework to repair this class, I think it's a salvageable class that people will have a lot of fun and enjoy with. I think that it's going to take somebody who's really into the core feel of I take the computers and I make them my computers to really like this class. I think this is going to be like a core rogue where, you know, if you are a diehard, you're going to like it. And if you're somebody who's gotten used to one of the classes that are higher up on the food chain, like the soldier or the soldier, the mystic, or the operative, you're going to be frustrated with this class probably along the same lines that I am.
Yeah, no, that's really succinct, because just the general loss of either your combat ability or skill ability does kind of feel like you got your pants pulled around your ankles.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I don't think anybody expects the mechanic to be as good at skills as the operative or as good at fighting as the soldier, but it needs a niche, and I think this class doesn't have a niche in combat. It's got a niche in skills, not in combat.
Now, how do you feel about the combat effectiveness of having the drone, though? When we start taking into effect not what the mechanic can do, but what the mechanic can do in combination with another unit on the field participating in the combat, that's a different calculation.
That's tricky because
he is attacking multiple times, and he is attacking from different locations and doing damage, decent damage if you've got some of the upgrades.
So I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to start by copping out of the question by saying that in all of our games that I've played a mechanic in, I've been in the Exocortex every single one. James is the one who play tested the
stealth.
God, what was his name? Stealthbot?
Oh yeah, it was Prankbot, because he would hide in cakes with a camera.
Yeah, he's gonna have the camera ready. When I'm talking about the mechanic, I probably should have clarified this. Most of my issues with it are that one of its two AI choices are clearly superior to the others. I think that the drone works as written. I think it is a balanced, flavorful adaptation of the Eidolon and the Animal Companion. And if we get Eidolons and Animal Companions in Starfinder, I would expect to see them have a similar action reduction. And, you know, as you get higher up, you start to get more actions each round. So
that's a complaint that the wizard had in Pathfinder, where the Arcane Bond had a clearly superior option. If you the familiar almost point for point, if you use it right, is clearly superior than getting a weapon that just lets you fish into your book once, or it makes it easy to enchant, especially since it's also its own liability of I can be disarmed from spells. What?
I mean, at least the exocortex doesn't have rules for ripping it out of your skull. There's a point in its book.
Uh-oh. What did you write?
But I agree with you. It is kind of like that, where, you know, you have these options in the, you know, in the spirit of making it more flexible, but it kind of makes the option worse in its own way. Because, you know, you're right, especially if you go improve familiar with 1 feat, you got a thing with hands that can use wands for you and has a full array of actions. I think that it comes down to action economy, because you're talking about having a computer that makes you use an action on your turn to target somebody and get a benefit that everybody just always has. Or you're talking about having a robot that can take one action each round without having to ask you for anything. You know, it doesn't take an action to tell your drone to do a move action or a standard action. You know, right. Like, hey, Prankbot, go in that corner and dirty trick that guy. You know, Prankbot's got it. Yes, sir.
So that is one of the few uses of the stealth bot in combat, is when you do your overload trick, you can center it on your drone there. So if he's stealth behind something and you just use him to pop off those, you get some utility. It's kind of weak, but it's something.
That's one of the points I made earlier, is that a lot of tricks and class features have special provisions for what they can do if you pick a mechanic, but they don't have those same things for the exocortex. I think there's like one or two of them that are like, if you have an exocortex, you could overclock your brain and get haste or something like that. And that one is really good. Like, that one's like, whoa, man, I want to overclock my brain and get haste.
Now, it is also tailing the weight they gave it, where the drone has 5 pages worth of material and the exocortex is squeezed into 3/4 of a page, which means it probably suffered, like a lot of this book suffered, in not enough book for all the things that can be. So I'm hopeful exocortex gets some love later as the game expands. But
I would love for it to get some love. What were you gonna say, James?
Oh, I think it definitely will. I mean, and it is kind of let though, because some of the exocortex abilities are just taken from the drone. It seems like the drone was the primary, and the exocortex was that if you don't want to deal with having 2 units to take care of, this is your out.
Yeah,
but
I definitely think that's true. The thing that will be tough is that anything they add to make the exocortex better is going to have to be inherently slightly more powerful than whatever that thing would normally be. Because, like, let's say that you have 2 mechanic tricks, right? And 1 mechanic trick is a trick that already exists that does a great benefit for a drone, and we acknowledge that drones are already higher and more powerful, right? So like, maybe the drones are here to start. If you're looking at the screen, I'm at my shoulder. If you're not, and then maybe with like the trait, they're at my headphones. Like, they're about up to my ear. So like, if it starts lower as an exocortex, that option, if it's going to try to balance them and make it equal, it's going to have to provide a bigger boost because you started lower, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, it's...
And that could be inherently seen as power creep, because it is. It's making an option that's clearly more powerful. It's making it more powerful in the spirit of balancing 2 options out long run, but then that also makes that new option that balances the two into attacks, because you have to take it or you're not going to be equal to the drone. So it's got a lot of problems, and I don't know how they're going to solve it, but I definitely agree with both of you that it's a problem that hopefully will be solved.
Well, the tax option is unfortunate, but let's not pretend that that's exactly what they've done throughout the entire history of their publishing. That
constantly
happens again and again, and with most games, that's how they have to solve it.
I again, not to flaunt my writing credits around, but I wrote the advanced weapon training system, which is basically that. Those options are more powerful than standard feats to bring a class that is the lower higher.
Right.
So again, it's something that could be done, but it's also, but I at least I feel that the designers of Starfinder have put more of an emphasis on making sure that Starfinder has longevity in the form of a minimized chance of power creep. So it's something they're going to have to consider when they decide if this is like, hey, we want to boost the exocortex up because it's clearly not as good of an option as the drone. Is this something we're willing to do?
Well, while the exocortex definitely is not as powerful as the drone option. It's not got as many options as the drone option. If you wanted to be a combat effective character, it is okay. You do get the full BAB. That's important. Not that's Solarian and Soldier only. That's like everybody else is at 3/4 BAB. The Technomancer's at 3/4 BAB. And you do get to some more skill folk. You get some more skills. You get that cool knowledge ability. There's some advantages to going Exocortec. It needs more love.
It does.
But let's talk about the version of this class that they obviously want us to play. The one that has the drone and can use it in combat. At that point, you do go back to your 3/4 BAB. Your drone is okay. But you have, at two different points, you have more actions. Especially since it's such a ranged focus game anyway, I have not seen in play yet a situation in which the mechanic dreaded not being able to take both actions on both characters, because one of them's usually in cover and the other one gets to the position it needs to be, and then only one of them usually needs to move at that point from that point forward. Usually you get both attacks going, the ability to flank your opponent is good, or the ability to put a melee character on the field between you and your party and them is good. The disadvantage there is I've never seen a melee bot last to the end of a session.
No, it never will. Even with the reactive plating and everything, it's going, unless you're fighting like a sentient slap fight, it's going to eventually be brought to its
end. That's just math, man. You take a look at the at the soldiers and soul survivability, a class that's designed to be in melee. They get 7 hit points and 7 stamina points per level plus their con. That's a minimum of 14, and the drone gets 10 hit points per level, and it doesn't have stamina. So yeah, they inherently can't take as much of a beating as a player character, which is probably fair. I've seen Cinnamon. I know how that feels to know that she could take a better beating than me.
Oh, she could take it better being the entire society. She can tank a Tarrasque. But speaking of summoners, anyway, it seems like they kind of... There's an ability drone meld, which I just love, where you just wear your drone like a backpack and you get
to... That is fun, because then you can get flight super early in the game. Your character can fly.
It's really cool. You need to wait till 8th level to get drone meld, but it's something that I always thought was really cool. Climbing into your friends. Oh god, that sounded really weird. But getting the use out of other things by merging with them, which they kept in Summoners and Twin Eidolon, but took away from the Synthesis Summoner because, yeah, that didn't make sense. So to see them kind of make something that has a similar feel but have the proper checks and balances on it, I think that shows growth on their part.
And to go back to the fact that the drone's going to get blown up just about as often, and I think that's a bit of the meta too, because GMs don't usually feel bad at blowing up the robot. If they have to pick who's about to eat a big attack, it's real easy to not feel guilty when you kill the robot.
Depends on how smart your enemy NPC is.
Oh, yes.
That's why you take Stealth Bot and he hides in the corner. Can't get blown up if the GM can't see him.
But you can bring the bot back at no cost to you the next day. I mean, at least it's not even like a familiar where it really hurts when you lose it and then you get it back. And you don't need it's and you can just fix it. The fact that it blows up just becomes a running joke.
Yeah, they even errated the fixing it the time I believe it takes to fix it. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at the errata because I don't play the class, but they made it a little more realistic too. Well, not realistic, but a little more useful. Mm-hmm.
All right.
They realize it's going to blow up every game, so you might as well make it quick.
You might as well just fill it with confetti, so at least when they smack it open, everybody gets, a little happy surprise, maybe some candy falls out.
No, that'll be a prank bot. He'll spew out confetti, but the confetti is acid.
Oh, that's not fun anymore. That's really bad.
It's a prank. It's great. It's a mean prank. Here we
go. Well... Okay. So let's start talking about how we would build our dream mechanic with the options we have available to us, as a way to wrap this out. I really like the fly drone. So I would totally build a mobile hacker type character where you take the overloads, you take the remote hacking options, you take Shockwave, because why wouldn't you? You take a small weapon mount, you do the things where you can do the remote use, and then you use the fly drone to get in there and apply those nastiness to everything you wanted to hit. And it also has the advantage of you very quickly are able to use that drone at distances away that are probably never going to come into play. I mean, I can't imagine a situation where I need to be on the opposite side of the planet as my drone. But if I was going to build a mechanic, it would totally be with the fly hacky drone.
To follow up on Matt Banach there, in the playtest, I played a non-combat drone. I played a stealth drone that had a camera, had arms for tools to get in the hacking, and opening doors, and taking video, because the idea, at least in that scenario that we had set up, was an infiltration. If you're willing to play a complete support character, you can have a bot that has med packs that is your go-between other characters. And it's a fun way to play. You do have to be mindful of people are relying on you, so you make sure your actions count. But it is possible, and I think that was I had a lot of fun playing it that way. I'd probably go back that way. Maybe go for throwing a ton of grenades, because there's a good grenade trick where you can just Viet Cong trap every weapon you see and just throw it on the ground, and then it explodes. And if I remember, there's not a limit to that. So probably go throwing a ton of grenades at the stealthy bot to act as a hub for things like hacking and just staying out of trouble.
And when you use the stealthy bot, you can actually wear it and yourself become invisible, right?
Yeah, so you can throw grenades and then nobody sees you, or you can run away and leave a bunch of like scattered like explodable weapons.
And Alex,
I would build a operative with the hacker specialization.
Alex is just going to build it out of a trash can and put it in a bigger trash can.
No. Then I'd go find I'd find a mechanic NPC and trick attack him until he dies, and then drag his non-responsive drone around with me on a string and name it Fido. if I had to actually build a mechanic, I would probably go combat drone. Mm-hmm. And give it a melee weapon, maybe some, maybe a nice big two-handed one, so it could beat the people really good. It could be like Hammerbot, and just as deploying hammer.
Two arms, give it to Shoko.
I'm like 90% sure it gets feats. So I would give it coordinated assault, and then sick my drone into combat, and then I would keep a small arm, or maybe I'd even take the feat for long arm proficiency, and I would just shoot stuff that my drone is threatening so that I would get the +1 bonus to hit with my ranged attacks.
Hey, and later on, at 11th level, you'll get another +1 if you're targeting the same thing.
Yeah, because I'd get coordinated assault. I think those stack, right? That's not a...
What's a circumstance? I don't know what the feat coordinated assault is.
Oh, I think coordinated assault is a circumstance bonus, too.
No, you've ruined your own build, Alex. This is what you get for not planning.
Gosh, no, and I got it. Now I have to check. I need to know. Yeah. I need to know for sure. I ruined my own build.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
Oh, no. Coordinated shot is untyped. My build is on.
Yeah, the firing squad tandem is ready to go.
No. It's you've got, you've got, like, Al Capone and Hammerbot.
Oh, man, that's not historically accurate, but I like it.
It doesn't have to be historically accurate. It's an android, and his head is Al Capone's head in a jar.
This is a holodeck gone wrong situation. It's every fourth episode.
We need a mechanic to fix this holodeck. There's just these sentient hammers wearing business suits just killing people.
Yeah, but if my bike race breaks down, I'm not calling the mechanic to fix it.
Yeah, you should call a mystic for that sweet, sweet medicine skill.
Yeah, I mean, you can always take serums, injectable serums, given the people. I played, when I was in the game of Shattered Star, I played a very Very, very party support focused rogue, which is actually spiritualist. And if you're in a group where you know you have that ability, you would be surprised by how much people like you when you can do things like get wounded people out of danger, bring things from point A to point B. It always helps to have an extra hand, even if it doesn't feel great at first.
And also there's the spirit of the bard everywhere. I mean, everybody's had the non-combat character in their group once before. Being effective at that is a skill all on its own.
Hey, Mitsuka Hane hasn't killed anybody yet.
Mitsuka Hane will never kill anybody. That's just bad. Murder's bad.
Murder's bad!
Yeah, we keep getting shot at. It's really bad. When we have to fight something that's immune to non-lethal, I guess I'm just going to leave.
It's great. You have weapon contractors, but they don't contract you to actually fire the weapons. They just contract you to stand and pose with them.
Right. But yeah, I, if you cannot tell, have the mechanic ranked more highly than Alex, at least.
Yes, you do. I think Parham did too, right? I'm not wrong.
Yes, I think you guys were the same. Technically.
I think you were 6 and I was 7.
I think the mechanic isn't as screwed as you seem to think it is, mainly because Starfinder has a minimum floor on combat effectiveness, and so the mechanic is able to at least hover above that at any given time. There's a world in which Starfinder had half BAB classes, and the mechanic was that, and then we would have a very different conversation. But thankfully, that's not the case. I think that he's outshone, the mechanic is outshone by just about every class, and I think the only class that hurts worse than the mechanic is.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's that one. Oh man, but let's see. Maybe they'll be able to figure it out too when we get to that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I know now that we've done my least favorite and Param's second least favorite as our second reviewed class, you guys will never be able to figure out which one we'll be doing next. It could be anything. It could be number 2. It could be number 1. It could be number 12. Don't know.
Wait, I thought we already did number 1.
No, I don't think James's was a soldier. Was it, James?
Nope, but it was the average number 1.
Yeah, mine and yours were soldier.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh man, we're giving all of these clues away.
What was Soldier's rank on yours?
Mine, I think, was either 2 or 3.
Okay.
Probably 2.
Is the class that I'm thinking is your number 1 your number 1, James?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And my, awesome. And mine and your list was exactly identical, except our 6 and 7 swapped places, Alex.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys are just weird carbon copies of each other of what you guys like to play.
Sorry.
No, I play
actually, no, that's not true, because we got into a really big heated argument about prepared versus spontaneous in that one magic episode of Private Sanctuary. Like, it was
spontaneous
really...
is better.
What was that?
Nothing.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It is better.
No. There's no advantage at all to be a spontaneous caster other than it's easier.
I mean, if if being a prepared caster was so good, how come it didn't make it to the future? It died like the dinosaurs.
Because it's too OP for space.
No,
that's true.
Incorrect.
That's
the devils true. That would have that power still exist, and they're like, give us all spontaneous, this prepared stuff's garbage. And then they turn into a giant spaceship and invade a planet.
I mean, yes, that actually happens. It crashes and cities explode. It's great.
Yeah, Citation, Alien Archive. It is there.
On the Red Alien Archive, it says these guys took the knowledge of prepared spellcasting and slammed it into as many cities as they could and laughed and said, how do you like your meteor swarms now?
Prepare for this.
All right. Okay, it sounds like the wizard
tried to plan shift. Didn't work.
All right, it sounds like we've run out of mechanic-y things to talk about. Does anybody want to shout out?
We can talk about plenty of game mechanics. We just can't talk anymore about the mechanic.
Which should probably be called something else.
Yes.
All right, so do you have any shout-outs this week?
I joined the PFS Discord channel a couple weeks ago, and I got into my very first game of PFS Discord, which I think we're going to play on Roll20. I'm not sure. But I'm playing on Thursday. We're doing level 6, I think, or maybe it's level 5 of Emerald Spire. It's the one that's like 5 to 7. And I'm really excited to look forward to it and looking forward to it. I like doing PFS online play, and I like PFS because I get to meet a lot of different gamers and play with a lot of different play styles and build ideas that I would not have come up with by myself. I think that PFS is the number one reason I can keep doing iconic design, just because I see people doing stuff and I get ideas in my head, and it's great. So I'm really looking forward to it. If you're in the PFS group and you want to join up, I think we've got four people. I'm not sure. But hey, you could play a game with me. It's open to anybody. As long as you get there before it fills. I think, there, like I said, I think there's like three slots left at max. But the more people come, the more likely we are to finish on time. So you should do it.
Yeah, there's also, and I think this is, I always think these are cool, play-by-post games. There is a play-by-post convention March 5th. I just posted a link in the Twitch chat, and I can throw it up in, it's on the looking for group section of our Discord, No Direction Discord. Param, give them the link, please. But it looks like they're looking to get some games rolling and everything, and you know, get convention support, and you know, if you want to GM games boons or you know, stuff like that through you know, a couple day con there. It runs from March 5th to the April the 30th, I believe is what they say their event time is, because play by post takes a little while.
So would you have to like sit at the table or at your computer and like play straight, and like how would that work?
No, usually play by post games, you have a set time limit where everybody will come back together to make sure that turns go in an order. If you had everybody there at once, I'm sure you could blitz it all at once, but you know, there's a minimum amount of interaction per day that's expected.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to shout that out.
And I have nothing to shout out this week, but thank you all. Okay, if you want to, if you want more No Direction content, make sure you go to NoDirectionPodcast.com. That's where you can check out all of these episodes after we do them, as well as our many great and excellent blogs written by very talented people. If you want to reach out to us, you can go to facebook.com/nodirection. You can email us at nodirection@hotmail.com. You can get on our Discord channel. You can have a link in on our website. There's a link to it. I'm not saying it in here because it's a bunch of gobbledygook shortened web address that you wouldn't remember. So go to our website and click on that link, and you can join our Discord, where we're in there pretty much all the time.
It's less a link and more of a giant blue button that says Discord in really obvious letters.
Yeah. And then, of course, we also have links to our YouTube page and our Twitter page on our main web page. So go check us out there. If you enjoyed this content, please let us know. Rate us good on iTunes. Give us likes, follows, subscribes, depending on where you saw this content. We always appreciate it. It's one way you can help us out. All right. So until next time, go beyond with No Direction. Thank you.